Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by Mark Langfan, New York-based attorney and businessman by day and a hero of the free world most of the time. He is, among other things, the contributor to and United Nations correspondence for Arutz Shiva, an Israeli publication. He is the chairman of the Freeman Center for Strategic Studies and of Americans for a Safe Israel, marvelous organization in New York principally. Also a senior fellow at the London Center for Policy Research, a man of many parts and always welcome guest here. Mark Langfan, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Frank.
I want to talk about a couple of things that you've been writing about in various places, Mark, specifically with respect to a question that is much on our minds at the moment, and that is, what is Russia up to in Syria and perhaps beyond in the Middle East? And what might it mean for us and our interests there and, again, perhaps beyond as well?
Well, it's we're in a very tumultuous and tenuous time. And first of all, thanks for having me on, Frank. It's always a pleasure. You're a gentleman and a scholar and a patriot beyond comparison. But getting back to Putin, we are really confronted with a terrible danger, in that you have to understand what has Iran's goal been all along. And if you look at it, it's very clear. In fact, Mitt Romney hit upon it, and he was castigated for it when he said, Syria is Iran's pathway to the sea. And at the time he said it, he was laughed at. And the point was, no one had the slightest idea what the man was talking about. He was talking about that Syria was the pathway to the Mediterranean Sea. And what he was talking about was a horrific course of events, in that the way Obama left Iraq basically handed Iraq to Iran. And Syria is essentially, and has been for many, many years, an Iranian satellite, principally because Assad hails from the Alawite clan, which, in fact, when you break down Alawite, it's Ali, meaning they're Shiites. Alawite is a sect of Twelver Shiism. So, in fact, if you take Hezbollah, Assad, and Iraq, you basically have a crescent, a Shiite-Iranian empire crescent stretching from the Persian Gulf to the Mediterranean Sea, which would represent a terrible threat to Israel, to Turkey, to everybody.
Not least because of the concern that you have expressed, and Mark, one of your great contributions to our understanding of all these things has been your mastery of the topography, the geography of the region, and in particular the what you call the black gold triangle. You might talk a little bit about that and how the Russians think they will benefit from helping bring about this Shiite crescent, Mark Langfan.
Exactly. So the big picture danger is we are confronted with a situation where Assad was on the ropes. So Iran basically co-opted Putin and inaugurated him as a quote-unquote founding member, protecting this entire swatch of territory under his nuclear umbrella.
Hey, Mark, let me just interrupt you for a second, because I just wonder whether this thought, which has occurred to me, has occurred to you, and whether there's possible evidence of it. And that is, do you think, we know that General Soleimani, the head of the Quds force in Iran, went to Moscow in violation of sanctions on his travel, by the way, and evidently helped put together with the Russians the plan for their intervention. Do you think it's possible, Mark, that the windfall that the Obama administration is going to give the Iranians, perhaps as much as $150 billion, that some of that is simply renting the Russian military to come in and perform this rescue operation for Assad in cahoots with the Iranians?
Not only do I think it is likely, I think it is the direct fallout from it. And the analogy that I drew was in World War II, or before World War II, right before Hitler and Stalin agreed to devour Poland, about 6 months before, Hitler signed the Munich quote-unquote peace treaty with Chamberlain, which essentially opened the door for these two tyrants to go and devour territory. So I believe that it is absolutely, it's not only financially, it is the sine qua non that cleared the way for this mutual destruction of attempt to devour Syria by Russia and Iran.
Yeah, with very substantial implications, as you've pointed out in your writings at Ruth Shiva, among other places, Mark Langfen, for Saudi Arabia and other Sunni states in the region, and the oil fields as well. Mark, I do want to touch on one other thing before I have to let you go, if I may just pivot quickly. You mentioned Israel as being one of those that is being threatened. I'm wondering, as I look around the region, at the array of threats that are now arising to Israel, a nation that you love, as do I, from, among other things, the nuclear deal, from every other, you know, sort of quadrant of the compass. To what extent, Mark, we were just talking with Dinah West a little bit about the fact that Israelis are now being encouraged to arm themselves to protect themselves in the face of one manifestation, a kind of intifada 3.0, I guess. But do you think, as you look at Hamas, as you look at Hezbollah, as you look at the Islamic State, as you look at the Russian intervention, the Sunni gangs, the Sinai, among other places, the Shiite Crescent, to what extent, Mark, do you think that these are, to some extent, at the minimum, if not quite substantially, being at least emboldened, if not enabled, by the President of the United States and his hostility towards Israel and his conduct with respect to Iran and others, for that matter, the Muslim Brotherhood, notably?
I think it is a lockstep and one step away, if not in the same step. Obama is basically betraying every single ally we've had. Let's put it this way. If Obama is willing to betray Saudi Arabia with the Iran nuclear deal, which is essentially what he did, then he's willing to betray Israel, for God's sake. I've never saw Obama bow to Bibi Netanyahu. So if he's betraying not only Saudi Arabia, but he's betraying Israel.
Yeah, and to the extent that we're watching this play out in real time, Mark Langfen, with this ferment, this highly dynamic and destabilizing sort of set of circumstances, do you think that it is possible, if not probable, that we're going to see a horrific regional conflagration arise? At a minimum,
there already is a regional conflagration. You've got Yemen in flames. You've got Syria in flames. You've got Iraq in flames. You've got Jordan on the cusp of being in flames. I mean, you've got the Sinai in flames. You've got Gaza in flames. I mean, you're seeing Obama hasn't been a fireman. He's been an arsonist in the Middle East.
And a lot of sparks being thrown in Israel's direction at the moment. Mark Langfen, we have to leave it at that for the moment. Thank you so much for joining us and for the great work you do at Arutz Shiva, among other places. And, of course, your insights into how geography can determine history is really an incredibly important contribution to our understanding of all of these issues. Keep it up. Come back to us again, if you would, very soon. Next up, we'll be speaking with Jim Hansen from the Center for Security Policy on this and more straight ahead.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.